So we're really pleased to welcome for the first time, but hopefully not the last, to the program, newly appointed Quincy School Superintendent Kevin Mulvey. Mr. Mulvey, so great to virtually see you. Thanks so much.
Great to see you too, Joe. Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, it's our pleasure, and we look forward to making this a semi-regular event, if that's all right. Your predecessor was a frequent guest here at QATV.
Absolutely. Anytime, I'll be happy to come over and see you, or we'll do it remotely, but hopefully in person soon.
Correct. Yeah, I hope so as well. It makes for a totally different experience. But thankfully, we have this in the meantime, as Quincy Public School students do too, right? At least for part of the time. How's the reopening going?
So the reopening is going well. We have obviously started our phase one, which is our students pre-K to three and all of our high need students on September 16th. So that really is an invite to half of our student population of 10,000. So we essentially invited about 5,000 students back to school. Some students are electing to stay remotely, which is obviously their right to do. And we understand that. Considering all of the individual safety concerns that individual families may have, not only with their own students, but with family members living in the same household that may be at high risk, so on and so forth, things like that. So we understand that decision. We do have a good amount of students that have decided to return in person under the high needs model, as well as the hybrid model for pre-K to three. So that's great. And next phase will begin for grades 4 through 12 on October 13th, and we're looking forward to that as well.
Is that pretty comparable to what other quote unquote green communities are doing according to the metrics?
Actually, I would have hoped to have seen actually more communities who are in the green follow the hybrid approach that we're following, but there are a number of communities that still remain in the green that have not actually acted upon a hybrid or in-person model just yet. I know in meeting with actually the governor earlier today, there are 16 communities in Massachusetts who have been solidly in the green or even better than that in the gray that have decided not to return yet. But I know they're working with them to try and get them to come back to school, because I think everyone agrees there really is no better mode of education than in-person education. So I think that's what we're all trying to get to as quickly as possible. So.
Yeah, I had actually a chance to watch that forum with the governor and with the assistant superintendent as well, Aaron Perkins. How was it that Quincy was singled out as a model?
So Quincy, we were actually invited to the governor's press conference for two reasons. One, because of the model program we did over the summer with regard to our special education programs at both North Quincy High School and ECC. So that was a in-person program for our special needs students, our most vulnerable high need students. And we were able to successfully run that program throughout the summer. And the response we got from parents and students was really enthusiastic and very positive. So we were very happy with that. We did actually go through a time, though, where we did have a positive case of a staff member at that program, as you probably have heard. But because we follow the guidance of the state and also our local guidance with Health Commissioner Ruth Jones, we were able to effectively quarantine the staff member, the classroom, while still being able to continue educational services for those students. So it was essentially a test run for our fall opening, so that we, you know, well prepared in the event that we do have future positive cases. Our goal is to be able to deal with those effectively while also maintaining educational programming for our kids. And of course, safety is our number one priority for both staff and students, so.
Yeah, I'm aware there was a student positive at Bernazani earlier this week. How was that handled?
Yes, so we received word of that on Sunday, and we wanted to make sure that obviously we followed all proper health and safety protocols. So the first thing we always do is make sure we get in touch with Ruth Jones and go through the protocols with her to make sure that we're all operating on the same page. Once we did confirm that there was a positive case of a student, we wanted to make sure that we not only reached out to that student, but we also wanted to make sure that we knew of all of the contact that the student may have had with other students, so that we could, if necessary, quarantine other students. Fortunately, we didn't have to quarantine all of the class, just one student, based on social distancing guidelines and the amount of contact that student had with other students. And again, that was under the guidance of Ruth Jones. So in that instance, obviously, we contacted the positive case and the case that had high contact with the positive case, and instructed them both to quarantine. We obviously sent out communication to staff and also communication to the community to let them know. And of course, we always want to let the mayor and school committee know as well.
So will that be the policy going forward for any positive case?
Yes, it will be. Unless, of course, we have any type of change from the CDC or from state or local health departments, that would be the policy moving forward. It's a good policy because it allows us to be, communicate directly with families as well as the community, just to let them know, what the situation is, and let them know also that we are handling it appropriately per state and local guidelines.
How is I know that the transportation is looking a lot different this year due to the pandemic. How is that working out?
Yes, it is. So as you probably know, as part of the pandemic, the state had issued a number of guidelines for our reopening in September. One of those guidelines addressed transportation specifically. And because of the social distancing guidelines that are required for buses, we had to, unfortunately, we had to expand our bus policy, or modify our bus policy from any point beyond 1.5 miles transportation would be provided. We had to expand that to beyond 2 miles and beyond, because we just did not have the bus fleet or the bus drivers to be able to manage the distancing requirements that the state had placed on school districts. So just for an instance, like the big buses that people are familiar with, we would only be able to put about 23 students on a big bus. And normally we would put probably closer to 50 on a school bus in that case. And a smaller bus, the mini buses, they could fit anywhere normally between 16 and 20, maybe more. And we were limited to six students on a minibus. And of course that gets reduced when we have to put a monitor on the bus, for instance. So based on those distancing guidelines, we really had to expand that 1.5 out to 2 miles. Aside from that, all of the students are getting to school safely, and we still are running a transportation program for those students that live 2 miles and beyond. And we also, of course, are running our transportation program for our special education students as well, and that's running very smoothly at the moment. So
you anticipate that will be that way for a while. It's not an issue now with the beautiful weather, but as things change when the winter approaches, that could be an issue.
It could very well be an issue. So the key here is obviously to work hand in hand with our families and making sure that they are supported. Our number one priority is the safety of our students. So if there are any concerns, we will work with those families to make sure that the students are arriving to school on time. I think everyone agrees that we want, COVID-19 to go away and everything to return to normal as quickly as possible. But until that happens, we do have to follow these safety guidelines, but I do want families to know that we'll work with them to make sure that their students arrive to school safely.
Okay. Can we talk just a little bit about academics? Just curious if the curriculum for the hybrid learning model is any different than it would have been for in-person learning.
So this obviously it'll be a little bit different at each level, elementary, middle, and high school. But generally speaking, the curriculum itself will be very similar to the curriculum you would have in a normal school year. So the curriculum, although the curriculum may not change, the scheduling and the on-time learning may be a bit different. So at the elementary school, the curriculum and even the scheduling would be very close to a normal school day, because we're able to based on health and safety guidelines, cohort each class into their individual classes. So for instance, we won't have any traveling of, obviously at the elementary level, students from one classroom to another, or even one, or even going from class to gym or to music or to any of these other academic programs or art, for instance. We'll be bringing all of those programming into the classroom so that students can remain cohorted in the classroom to minimize intermingling of that cohort with any other students. Again, that's per DZ guidelines and per the local and state health department guidelines as well. We're also going to be bringing in lunch into the classrooms as well. And our food service director, Sarah Dufour, and her assistant, Ms. Minton, have been doing a great job because not only are they preparing for in-person food service, they also are continuing to provide food for those students who have elected to stay home remotely. So I think since March, we have served over 120,000 lunches and breakfasts to kids throughout the city. And they've really done a great job. I have to thank our entire food service staff, all of the food service workers in all the schools, because they're the frontline workers making sure that our kids are getting fed, and they're making sure that every family that comes to the school seeking a breakfast or a lunch definitely gets it. So that's just one example of what's happening at the elementary school. At middle school, it becomes a little more challenging because obviously there is typically more movement at the middle school because kids usually move subject to subject. Again, at the middle school, we're trying to keep our students more cohorted to minimize intermingling with other students. Similar to elementary school, we'll be bringing everything to the classroom. So all of the specialists will be coming to the classes. The individual teachers teaching the different subjects will be coming into the classroom rather than students traveling. And then, of course, same thing with lunch. Lunch will be served in the classroom as well.
Okay.
High school under the hybrid plan is really where it gets extremely challenging. And we have 11 days to go, but we are still continuing to work on the hybrid plan for the high school. And the reason is because of all the different subjects at the high school. And obviously the number of teachers that are at the high school too, in order to serve our students. So we have developed a number of hybrid plans. We had proposed one last night that we're streamlining even more. We proposed it last night to the school committee. But the problem with the hybrid plan is we have to run both a remote school and an in-person school with the same amount of staff. Because obviously we can't double our staff because budgetarily it wouldn't be feasible. So we have to be really inventive with regard to how we're going to be covering all of these classes, because we do want as much live in-person instruction for the in-person kids, but we also want live synchronous instruction for the remote students. So that's going to be a real challenge, but we're committed to get it done. And we're going to give our students the best possible education they can have, even during this COVID-19 crisis.
So is it essentially for remote learning, is it essentially a computer in the classroom as that class is being taught in person? It's also being taught remotely?
So again, it'll be different at each level.
Okay.
So we essentially have, I guess you can take look at it as almost as having two schools. We have a hybrid school and we have a remote school. So just focusing on the remote school. So our teachers are will be on their laptop and essentially doing their instruction remotely to our students who may be at home receiving the instruction, or they may be at school receiving in the instruction if they need, for instance, internet connectivity, or even if they need a device. We are welcoming students into our two high schools, some of our middle schools, as well as some of our elementary schools, in order to make sure students have that internet connectivity in order to engage in their online education. So, but we have given out over 1,300 Chromebooks, and we are expecting another delivery of 2,500 within the next couple of weeks. And so we'll have, and then we're going to have another delivery of about 4,500 the week after that. So we will have plenty of Chromebooks within the next couple of weeks for students to have if they wish to continue their remote instruction from home. But certainly if they wish to come into school, they're more than welcome to, and we will provide them a space.
Okay. How are report cards going to look this year, Kevin? How is that? How is it going to be measured?
So, report cards will definitely be a challenge. But again, we're committed to making it as normal a report card process as possible for our families. So all of our principals and our superintendent's leadership team are working very hard to make sure that the report card process, as I said, will be very similar to what they have seen in the past. So I know that in cooperation with our union, we're using, our teachers will be using either Google Classroom or Aspen to chronicle their grades, which is a great asset to us. Again, luckily for our technology advancement, it has really helped with regard to dealing with this COVID crisis, even with you and I talking here. Similarly, with the technology that we have, we're able to advance certain areas that we normally wouldn't be able to advance, and that includes the report cards and grading in general. So our goal with regard to just grading in general is to make sure that teachers are posting their grades regularly online, and parents can have access to that, again, either through the Aspen software system or the Google Classroom software system, so that the idea is there won't be any surprises, so that parents can monitor their students' progress during remote or hybrid learning, and they'll know exactly how they're doing during that process. Yes. And then, of course, the grading at the end will also be there for students and families.
Yeah. Okay. In some ways, it's actually more interactive this way than it would have been a traditional year, for at least to keep an eye on students' progress.
Absolutely. Yes. So in some ways, it's a silver lining, because we're kind of advancing into that 21st century educational classroom, where everything is more interactive and more hands-on, and students and families have greater control and greater ability to monitor student progress than they have in the past.
Right. Yeah. You mentioned the union. I know there was some concern about ventilation in some of the school buildings. Has that been resolved?
So we are working out those issues still. We have resolved all other outstanding issues with regard to putting together a memorandum of agreement with the union. We have a draft, I think, 13-page document at the moment, which covers everything that you can imagine in regard to remote learning and hybrid learning. The last sticking point is the ventilation system issue, and we'll continue to work with our union to resolve those concerns. And I know that the Public Buildings Department and David Scott, the city's mechanical engineer, has been working literally around the clock to get all of our buildings up to speed with regard to ventilation. I do have to thank Mr. Scott and Paul Hines, the commissioner, his team, and the mayor for putting in the funding and the time to prioritize our schools to get our ventilation systems where they need to be. And we're very grateful for that. And, according to Mr. Hines and Mr. Scott and Ruth Jones, our buildings are very safe and pose no risk at all to our students or our staff.
Curious, are you able to offer some of the vocational programs, auto shop, woodworking, culinary arts, things of that nature?
So at the moment, we are still in phase one in full. So we're doing fully remote for those programs. But what we've done with those Chapter 74 programs, as they're called, we've front loaded the classroom time to the beginning of remote learning, so that would all of the non-hands-on classroom work would be done remotely now. So that when we do phase into phase two on October 13th and we begin the hybrid approach, we'll be able to phase in the hands-on programming that's desperately needed for Chapter 74 programs. And so that will certainly be available for students if they wish to participate. And obviously, if they wish to remain remote, that's certainly their right to do that per state guidance. But we do want families to know that those students interested in Chapter 74 programs, including culinary, plumbing, carpentry, electrical, that sort of thing will be available hands-on for our students once the phase two begins on October 13th.
Okay. I know that athletics obviously looks a lot different. I think golf started today, actually.
It did. Yes. Yeah.
Will there be in-person actual competitions?
So right now we're waiting on, there will be potential. Obviously golf is one of those sports where the ability to have high contact is lessened. So that's why they've allowed golf to begin today. And obviously I don't see why they wouldn't be able to have tournaments in that regard. Based on state guidance, I think that will be fine and approved. The issue is with regard to the high contact sports like football and soccer, basketball, wrestling, for instance. So, you know, the state is looking to actually move those programs or the start of those programs to February, and we'll see how that goes. But we are, and we get, you know, guidance from the state almost weekly on this issue. And I know that because of the remote nature of remote learning and hybrid learning, there is the component, the social emotional component that we have to worry about relative to our students' well-being. And so we really do want to get these extracurricular activities up and running for our students so that they will have an outlet to socialize and to get outside and get fresh air and exercise. And our athletic programs are really the best way to do that. And so I'm hoping that, you know, we'll be able to run some of these programs, even some of the, you know, the tier two or tier three programs as soon as possible so that our students can get involved in these extracurricular activities and obviously do it safely.
Sure.
So another area that we've been working with the city on in relation to getting more extracurricular activities for our students is working with the recreation department under Commissioner Murphy and his staff in the recreation department, Michelle Hanley. And they're putting together a after-school program for our students starting Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, 3 o'clock on at 4 school locations so that our students have some extracurricular options there as well. I think on Wednesdays, they'll be offering it at 1 o'clock for the half day schools. So we're very grateful to them. It really has, the community really has come together with regard to supporting our students. And this is just one example of that. And the social emotional needs of our students, we have to take very seriously. And these are all positive, positive moves we can make in order to benefit students in that area.
Obviously, your superintendency is getting off to quite a landmark start with the pandemic. But let me ask you, Kevin, if there were no pandemic in a perfect world, what would your priorities be right now as you, you know, assume the head of the Quincy Public Schools?
Yep. So what my approach is, pandemic or no pandemic, we are going to be moving forward regardless of, you know, the crisis. So. Obviously, we have a lot of work to do with the putting aside the crisis, which will take up a lot of our time. But I don't want to lose sight of the other initiatives that we have here in Quincy that are very, very exciting. We have the Learning Center that was just approved by the City Council, a $14 million project to benefit all of our special needs students here in the city of Quincy. And I have to say that project is so exciting because we're going to reconnect families who, because of the special needs of their students, had to leave the city for educational purposes and reconnect them back to their community. And that is the most exciting part of this building because families and students now will become reintegrated back into the Quincy Public Schools, whereas before they weren't able to do that. And the program itself, I'm hoping that the plans will be unveiled soon for people to see. It's so exciting. The work that has been done by Westling Architects and Paul Hines from the building department and all the other stakeholders, Assistant Superintendent Aaron Perkins, whose expertise is in special education, and myself have been working on putting the plans together for the Learning Center. And it is going to be really transformative for our special education community, particularly for our students with autism. It really is going to be a top-notch, first-class program for those students, and Quincy is very lucky to have it. And so that's just one example. We have the Squanum Elementary School we have to keep pursuing. We want to make sure that that building gets the proper funding from the School Building Authority, and obviously we'll be doing everything we can do to try and get that funding as soon as possible. This year would be great, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to do that so that we can build the needed new school out in Squanum, and it is needed very greatly. So we're hoping that we can make advances on that. We also want to address the not only social emotional concerns of our students, but also focusing in on equity, diversity, and inclusion across the district, not only in our curriculum, but also in our hiring practices, and try and increase the number of minority applicants and minority hires for our schools so that our staff can be and is reflective of the students that we're serving. So that's another initiative that we're working on. We've partnered with Visions Inc., who have currently they're doing professional development for all of our staff so that we have a better handle on how to actually advance the goals of equity, diversity, and inclusion, and we're confident that we'll be able to do that effectively this year as well. So that's just a few initiatives that we're going to keep moving forward with. There are so many more, but those are the exciting ones, and we'll be doing that while also handling the COVID-19 crisis as well.
Oh, is that all?
That's it, yes. Yes.
For for parents, for guardians who are concerned about the quality of education their children are getting during this COVID era, they may be worried that there'll be an achievement gap in years ahead. What's your message to them?
So my message is for them is we're going to be the Quincy School Department is going to be doing everything in its power to make sure that we close that achievement gap. We're looking at achievement gaps now because of COVID-19 across the board. Prior to COVID-19, we were looking at achievement gaps for low-income students, for EL students, for students of color. Now we have an achievement gap that not only affects them even greater than they were affected before, but now we're having an achievement gap that's affecting every student. And so our goal here in the Quincy Public Schools is to give our students the absolute best educational opportunity to make sure that, number one, there is no achievement gap, or if there is an achievement gap, we close it as quickly as we possibly can by giving students the opportunity to engage in various educational programming that will help assist them in overcoming this crisis. And for instance, the summer program that we did, not only for the special education program, but we also did a full remote program for all students across the board. We had over 2,300 students participate in the summertime in that program. And that program was designed to actually deal with the effects of and assuage the effects of COVID-19 and the loss of educational time so that we could close the gap and get our students ready for the next school year. And we certainly hope that we'll be able to do that again this summer. But even during the school year, we will be working with families pretty much on a one-on-one basis and identifying those students who are struggling, reaching out to those students and families, asking them what else we can do to assist them and do whatever it takes to make sure that they're successful here in Quincy.
So much to talk about. We'd love to have you back at some point in the near future, if you'd be open to that.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure. Absolutely. Anytime, I'll be back.
For folks who have questions, concerns, would like to reach out, what are some good ways for them to do that?
They can email me at kevinmulvey@quincypublicschools.com. They can give me a call directly at 617-984-8701. They can contact anyone on our website. Any of the SLT, they can contact their local building principals. Again, everyone is here as a resource for students and families to assist them through this crisis and making sure that their students are getting the best possible education they can get in Quincy. And we're committed to that. So don't hesitate to reach out if you need anything in that regard.
All right. Really appreciate your time, Mr. Mulvey. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.